Thank you. Good evening. Let's begin. Page 28 in your hymnals. Thanks for showing up, Pastor. Appreciate you being here. Page 28. Let's all stand, shall we? Great is thy faithfulness. Page 28.
Aren't you glad God is faithful? Yeah. I was racing kids downstairs. What are they thinking? I'm in my overcoat. I got my Bible. I'm dressed up. And I go, I'm faster than you. So what do they say? No, you're not. Oh, yeah? So I was. Because I held them down and then pushed them down and ran. Ready to pray? I saw your sister. She didn't know me. I thought it was you. And I got these bad thoughts that I was going to do something. And then I realized she has an identical. I think she's identical. Isn't she, Kenny? You can. You better. Kiss the wrong woman. But she looks very much like. And that you ever done that before? You go up and go, hey, how you doing? They go, who are you? They're, you know, I have a twin. I was going to say Rock Hudson, but that, he was on the, okay, not Rock Hudson. John Wayne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to the kids tonight. I pray their hearts will be hungry. I pray they'll have an appetite for truth, for Jesus. We just hope that the gathering as they hear the Word of God, do verses, all that they do, just cause them to want to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Encourage us. Speak to me. Father, I know it's about what you've given me to say, but I'm just thankful that even as I say it, it speaks to me. I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. And the song is so appropriate. Great is thy faithfulness. Not just you're faithful and you are, but it is great. Thank you. We praise you. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 33, How Big Is God? Page 33.
No man may strive to go beyond the reach of space.
Okay, have you ever sang it?
Yeah, we have. We've sung it all the time.
Okay. 33 on the last.
As winter's chill may cause the tiny seed to fall, to lie asleep, to wake by summer's rain, the heart grows cold, will warm and thrive.
There is, ladies, for tomorrow night. I think it's still up there, a sign-up list. If you are planning on being here for the ladies' fellowship, there is a sign-up list. So we would encourage you to fill that out. I'm sure my wife will take it when we leave tonight, so she knows. There are also a list for snacks for Awana, for the kids, and a list for afterglows if you would like to be involved in that. And on your prayer list, would you put the Ritters on there somewhere? I know there's not a lot of room, but Ron had another tooth pulled. He had trouble Sunday from having a tooth pulled. And I misunderstand, and there's so many things going on, and I'll say you had a bad tooth, and they'll go, no, I had knee replacement. Like, okay, I'm trying. I really am. And there's so many things on here. But pray for Ron. He had a tooth pulled today. He was dealing maybe with that tooth. I think that's what it was. And so there was a bad infection. He's struggling with that. Linda is having an MRI on Monday. And I don't know if you've ever been in one of those machines. she's claustrophobic, and so am I. If you are, pray about that for her. And she's, of course, in a battle with MS, and she doesn't say much, and I don't want to embarrass her, but she would take prayer and thank God. God just always gives her the grace, and she just does so well through all that. And then so many things on there to pray for, people with cancer, salvation. How many of you have somebody, how many of you have immediate family? You have someone that has the same last name as you do, and they need salvation. How about somebody that almost has, they almost have the same last name, you know what I mean? They're very close, immediate family, we would call it, and you're praying for them. God could save them. God could save them. My uncle called today, and he was talking about, I don't know if it was today or the other day, and praying for our family, driving and just praying. We have a lot of rulies that he said God just broke his heart, and he began to weep as he prayed for family members. And then we pray, we always pray together over the phone, and then we prayed together over that. How encouraging. He said, we'll just claim God's promise that he said he'd save our house. So I thought, man, thank the Lord for that. So God can save. It may be at the last minute, but God can save. That's what matters. That's what matters, that there are people that we know, that we love. You might have friends, might be co-workers, someone that you're praying for. So you witness to them, but you pray them in. You pray them in, and God will get a hold of their heart. And then lots of health needs. Pray for them. John Sheet, should we take you all? Are you considered healthy? Not with that big thing on your head. How is JP doing? Amen. Amen. Okay, ushers, will you come? Let's pray, can we? Heavenly Father, we are probably a testimony of answered prayer. So we know what you can do. It isn't just that we've got a testimony of a little answer. Many of us, I hope all of us, have a testimony of a great answer. And so that gives us hope as we pray and pray for others and ask you, God, to save the lost. There are lost family members in my family, Amy's family, that need Christ. They need salvation. They need a Savior. And I'm glad that it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a perfect person. It doesn't take works. It doesn't even take baptism. Just takes believing. I'm asking you to work in the hearts of family, not just mine, but people in this room who have family that are not born again. Lord, there are many on this list who are fighting cancer, many who are just fighting different things. And we come to you because if you made us, you obviously can fix us. Give us wisdom about that when we need to pray more, or maybe there's steps we need to take. But Lord, we're glad that when we talk to you about our problems, our physical needs, you know exactly what to do, or you know who can help us. When we pray, though, God, for a lost person, there's nothing we can do. We can pray, we can witness to them. But you're the one that saves. There's only one Savior. You're the Savior. You're the only way. So we're just praying that they'll find you, the way, the only way. Speak to these kids, all these Awana teens. Speak to them. Challenge them. I pray that they'll hear the gospel. I pray that the gospel will be easy for them to grasp. I want them to know Jesus. If we're bringing them here, if we're spending this time and all that we spend on this, and we're not taking care of fishing for them, then we're just wasting a bunch of effort and time. So God, please save lost kids who that come on that bus and they hadn't seen that. They haven't maybe seen what they're so new that they've never been to a church before. They've so many of them never heard about Jesus, don't know that they need a Savior. So just work in their heart like they need so that they can trust you. We love you, Lord. We need you. We want to serve you. We want to serve you with our whole heart. Help us to serve you with our whole heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 34 in your hymnals, How Great Thou Art. Page 34, let's all stand, shall we? Seated, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Luke 15. Luke 15. I'm sorry I was up here. I don't know if you think I was doing something. I was. I was counting the chairs up here. We got a check in the mail today for the pews. And they didn't tell me it was coming. I've been waiting on them, and all of a sudden they sent it. So I don't know what's going on. My daughter has a meeting with all the big horns. Pray that just gets, would you? We don't talk about it a lot, but the fire's not over. It'll be 2 years in a month. And I just need that out of my life. And if the Lord wants extended a year, I quit. I quit, just so you know. Luke 15, I don't quit. I just, there's so many ins and outs of all this, and I just don't get it. I thought I've seen it all. I have not seen it all. That the Lord keeps humbling me. I get it. No, I don't. Luke 15, I thought I understood and things that we're going to this, we're going to know. Yeah, they're not. Luke 15. So we're trying to figure out what to do. I don't know if you want to know, but we're probably going to keep chairs up here. We want to get chairs to match. Pews on the floor. Beautiful pews. You'll love them. Comfortable. Fastened down. Pretty. Cup holders. No, not really. Communion cup holders. Luke 15. Have you got that? Verse 25, the subject tonight is ungodly jealousy. Ungodly jealousy. Can I say something to you? I don't really know. I don't get a lot of, I had a young lady, Gary Gilmore and I went to a Fairhaven, had special meetings. Evangelist that used to travel with Gary was there. He called me and said, can you go with me? I want to go see him. And so we ran over there. A young lady in the college ran up to me. She said, Pastor Rooley, do you have a minute? Can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And I didn't know, you know, I don't want to counsel someone else. I didn't know what. She said, I just want you to know that I clean here at the college. She said, my job is all by myself, and I clean. And she said, I listen to preaching. She said, I'm listening to you. She said, I just want to thank you for how God used his word through you in my life. And I said, man, I just want to quit. That's too much to handle. And she said, I just want you to know that and want to thank you for that. And I said, well, I'm quite flattered. I said, send your tithe to us. Make sure you send. I said, God bless you. It's God's word. It's God's word. And I don't know. But some things need to be said. Some things are hard to say. Some things are hard to admit. I think that. You know any lost people? I'm being sarcastic. I mean, you should know that by now. But it seems like Christians have a bigger problem with jealousy than lost people do. There's this it's evil. We don't like it if somebody else succeeds. I ran into someone, and not last night. Someone else, somewhere else, another time. I said, appreciate you, thankful for you. He said, wow, thank you. I said, no, really. We have too much of a, not just preachers, but we have this competitive spirit. We want to look better. We want to be more popular. You with me? You listening to me? And we don't like it if somebody else gets attention. Someone looked at Gary last night, Gary Gilmore, and they said, are you with him? I said, yeah, I'm the chauffeur. I said, I am honored to be his chauffeur. And they said, oh. I said, I am. And Gary said, he is. And I said, and I shine his shoes too. I said, I'm honored to do that. Hard to say, right? Jesus said, if you want to be great, what are you supposed to do? Be a servant. Luke 15. One kid left, one kid stayed. They both had horrible attitudes. Something was wrong. Right? You know the story. We don't have to go in depth and in detail. The younger boy, who we call the prodigal, doesn't like home. Too many restrictions. Tied down. So he asks his money. He asks his money for dad. He asks his dad for money. Dad gives him money and he takes off. All the Bible says is that he spent it on riotous living. You ever wasted money? You ever buy something? You went, I shouldn't have bought that. And then it broke or you lost it. And when the younger, the prodigal, is out, money's gone. Bible says that he came to himself. I love this story. You know I love this story. In all my years here, man, I have preached literally dozens of messages on this story. And it's why I can't believe I'm here again tonight. But here I am. It's God's word, not my word. So he makes a decision that he's going to go back home because he left wrong and he wants to get things right. So he decides that he would tell his dad, you remember how powerful, he didn't just say, I'd like to come home. He said, I'm not worthy to be home. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Humility, I love it. I love it. When I hear that, when I read that, when I see that in this young boy, he said, I'll be a hired servant. That speaks volumes. When somebody's willing to do that, that's hard for us. It's hard to be a servant. It's hard to take second place. He heads home. He's mulling in his mind what he's going to say. He's mulling in his mind his dad's reaction. Do you ever have to tell your parents something you didn't want to tell them? Do you have kids who told you something you wish they wouldn't have told you, but they needed to and they did, and you worked it out? Heartbreaking. So before he gets home, his dad catches him off guard. Literally. Runs to him. The boy didn't know if the dad would even see him when he got home. The dad may say, no, you left. You just stay gone. Right? He could have said that. Before he even gets home, he discovers that his own father, whom he pilfered his money, the dad could have refused, but decided to give him the cash. Now that dad is looking for him, longing for him, waiting for him, hoping that he comes home. In fact, he's a parent. He knows the boy will be home. The dad runs. He meets him, hugs him, kisses him. The boy doesn't get to finish the speech that he wanted to give. The dad then treats him better than he treated him before he left. Now watch this. Maybe he realized, maybe the dad realized that he didn't treat him like he should have treated him before he left. Say, wait a minute, that's a picture of God. Not necessarily. This story isn't saying this is how God is, this is how you are, but maybe it's just showing us that God has done everything for us that he could. So you know the story. They throw a party. Man, the dad is just thrilled the boy's home, and he gives them a ring and shoes and a robe, and they eat like mad. Verse 25, we pick it up. Now. I love the Bible when it uses the word now. Kind of, you know, shifts the story. Everybody's partying. Verse 24 says, look at the end of verse 24. And they began to be merry. In other words, the party just started. It would do nothing but get better. When they realized what he did, he changed his mind. Isn't it great when you make a bad decision, but then you make the right decision, a good decision? You know that now God can bless you. And so they began to be merry, and everybody's thrilled. The neighborhood, everybody's there. Of course, the dad's there. It doesn't say anything about the mom, but the dad's there. And everybody, I don't know what the prodigal's doing. I don't know how he's soaking this. I don't know how he's accepting all this. I don't know what he's thinking. But all of a sudden, in verse 25, the story takes a dramatic twist. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. That was so rare. They didn't just do this all the time. Something's up. The older son, the elder brother, is not thinking. He's not. If you want to debate this, we can do it later. But the brother, older brother's not thinking. I'll bet my brother came home. I would never clean my room. I would pay. I was earning money since I was 11. So I would pay my sister to clean my room. My mom would say, clean this pigsty. She'd call it a pigsty. It wasn't that bad. It was bad, but it didn't smell like pigs. It was dirty, but so mom would come by, and she'd look in there, and she'd say, you clean this pigsty. So I'd go to my sister Michelle, and I'd say, I'll give you a dollar. You clean my room. She'd say, okay. She'd clean my room. My mom would say, do you clean your room? I'd say, look at it. She said, no, did you clean your room? I'd say, it's clean. She'd say, who cleaned your room? I'd say, you asked me to clean it. She said, you didn't clean it. You paid your sister to clean your room. I said, you never said I couldn't. She said, no, I want you to clean it. I said, why? She'll do it for a buck. My dad would make my sister shovel the snow. This is a true story. We had a big driveway, sidewalk that went out to the public sidewalk. She'd shovel out the door, down our sidewalk within our property, out to the public sidewalk in front of our house. She would shovel the back sidewalk to the garage, and then all in front of the garage. And then my dad would say, put your boots on, put your coat on, come out here. And he'd take a picture of me with the shovel in front of everything shoveled. And my sister would go nuts. Say, why would your dad do that? I don't know. I mean, I'm always open for a picture. And she would go. She had the same, ethnicity that I do. So imagine, she was not as emotional as I am, but she could put it on. And boy, she was just, she couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, what's the big deal? I'm out there, dad's taking pictures, and I got a shovel, and everything's shoveled, and she's watching this, just having a fit. Sibling, they call it, I don't know what they called it then. We called it just beating each other up. Now they call it sibling rivalry. She'd be so mad at me, she wouldn't talk to me. I'd be near her, she'd swat at me. He called, verse 26, he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. He didn't know. Different. Maybe he had never heard in his own house music or dancing. Maybe this whole thing was so special that the dad did something he never did before. And there's no way that his father, the older brother's father, prodigal's father, no way this father would do that for his young son because he was gone. So what's going on? If he came home, you know what he was doing. Why would you do that for him? Verse 27, he said unto him, thy brother has come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Safe and sound in the original language is one word. And that one word means uncorrupt. He came back, and it literally means that he came back because he got his heart right. He was corrupt. Now he's not. His dad knew that. He could see it. Remember how your mom would look at you? Remember how your mom would know what you did by looking at you? Isn't that scary, like voodoo? They knew what you were thinking, knew you'd been with. My mom would just glare me down, and she just could tell everything. Just from looking at me, through me, in me, whatever they do. I've never been a mom. Look at verse 28. Now remember that the young, the prodigal, is home. He's lived in sin. Now he's corrected that. That safe and sound literally means true in doctrine. True in doctrine. He's right where he ought to be. He didn't just come home. He's right where he ought to be. His attitude changed before he got home. What do we call it? An attitude adjustment. God adjusted his attitude. Remember, he wanted to eat. There wasn't even pig food to eat because the pig needed to eat. And the farmer said, don't you eat their food. Remember that in the beginning of the story? It says, no man gave unto him. Man, it's bad news. This is bad news. So, man, he knows there's one thing to do. God has sent a storm and about capsized his boat, if you will. Jonah chapter 1. And he says, I've got to get this thing right. So he gets it right. He goes home. They throw him a party. He's just what he ought to be. And verse 28 says, and he was angry. Not the prodigal, but the older brother. What's he angry about? The anger had been there. Hey, you don't just get angry. It was there. Something bothered him. The brother was gone. Think about it. If they shared chores, wouldn't you be mad? Now he's back. I'm out working in the field. He's here partying. Are you saying, preacher, are you saying he has a right to be angry? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that his anger is coming out. It was there. Your anger always comes out. You can't hold resentment. And that's what that word is talking about, angry. It's a rage that boiled over because he resented his brother. If you will, ungodly jealousy. Now listen very closely to what I'm about to say before I finish reading. If you're not right with God, you resent anyone that is. Because you know you should be. Ungodly jealousy. He would not go in, verse 28 says. Didn't want to be around him. Didn't want to be a part of it. If I was his dad, I would throw him a bone from something and say, here you go, baby. It says, and entreated him. And it's neat because that entreated there is the word parakaleo. Like he, when our Lord talks about the Spirit of God being so near to us, what he's saying there, the dad is saying, you belong with us. You don't belong out here. Isn't it funny? Ever had anyone get mad at you over something that was silly? To them it was big because they're mad. When you hear it, you go, what? You what? It's big when it's us being the mad one, but when it's the one that's mad at, the mad at person, keep up, the mad at person doesn't have a clue. Sometimes I don't know if somebody's mad at me till they won't talk to me. They don't want to be around me. And they'll go, something wrong. Is something wrong? Like, what? What is going on? And then whatever comes out, you know, you got to be careful. They say it and you want to go, are you kidding me? But to them it's big. He answering, verse 29, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Seniority. Senor, I've been here. I'm older. Hey, you're not a better Christian because you've been a Christian longer. Do you realize that? I'm talking to y'all, and look, I'm respecting my elders as best I can. But the truth, I have an obligation to the truth, not to your age. I have an obligation to what the Bible says. And you're not a good Christian because you've been a Christian for a long time. Right? Would you agree with that? You're a good Christian because you're right with God. He says, he spouts, I've been here many years. He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Whatever that means. What does that mean? Does that mean he never blew it? Really? Does that mean that when his dad told him to do something, he did it? I've got two words for that. Big deal. You can do the right thing with the wrong attitude. Jonah did. And here's this boy. He said, and yet, verse 29, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon, as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living. The dad didn't have to give it to him, but he decided to. He said, this boy devoured what you earned, you give it to him, he spends it on harlots. Was that true? I don't know. It never says that. I think God isn't afraid of the word harlot. If this boy did spend it on harlots, don't you think that God would have said, by the way, he spent some of his money on harlots? Here's what I think. I think when you're ungodly jealous, you say a lot of things that are not true just to make yourself look better without being godly. You say the right things, maybe someone will take your side and go, you poor dear. You poor, poor dear. And so this older boy is spouting off about what his brother did. He said, so now you've killed for him the fatted calf. How can, in other words, how can you, what kind of father are you? The father responds, what, these are two fantastic verses. Verse 31, he said unto him, I would have called him spoiled brat. I would have called him, you little creep. I know you shouldn't call your kids that. I got it. You preach this message the way you want to. I would have said, why, you little creep. What's he say to him? Isn't it interesting? I don't know what your Bible does. My Bible capitalizes, son. You know what that means? You're as special to me as anyone. He says to him, see it, verse 31, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Remember what the prodigal son wanted? His portion. What a God we have that he would give everything that he has when we act like, excuse me. When we act like jerks, God says, hey, you're my son. I'll give you everything. Shouldn't that humble us? Why would God do that? Because he's God. Verse 32. Now he brings up his brother. Verse 31 was for the older brother. Verse 32 is for the younger brother. He said it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, equal. He's as much son to me, capital S, as you are. He has as much right to all that I have as you do. He said, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Let me read a verse and then I want to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says this, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul is saying, I have one goal for you. I want you to be godly. But I'm afraid something's happened. This ungodly jealousy. Why is the pastor talking to them and not me? Why does the pastor go to say hi to them and he didn't say hi to me? Why is the pastor treating them so nice? He doesn't treat me like that. Can I say two words to you? Grow up. Don't you wish the dad would have said that to the older brother? Hey, grow up. And then he lays it on him. What did you miss? You're my son. What do you want? Ask for it. Your brother left, came back. We're excited. He's right. You're here. He left. He's back. He's right. We're excited. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, would you please help us? Help me see myself. Help me to see what I am. Help me to see what you see that I don't see. And I know you can help me see that because the Spirit of God's in me. Help me to see that. Speak to us all. Speak to those watching. Speak to everyone in this room. That's why we're here, God. So that you can make us more godly. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The older brother, verse 28, obviously has a problem with anger. You know someone has a problem with anger? Always angry. Mad about this. Mad. What are you mad about now? I have in my, Amy, I've said this. It's true. I've never seen Amy. I've been around her. We'll be married in March, 45 years. I've been around her 48. April will be 49 years. I've never seen her angry. Now, think about that. Think about if you lived with me. Let your mind wander a little bit. I'm a bit loud. I'm a bit impulsive. I'm a bit, just a bit impatient. What? And I'll tell you what. She makes me so mad. Because she's so calm. I'll say to her, will you just yell so I can say I've heard you yell? Why is everything? And she'll go, well, that's just what you need. Like, that makes me more mad. Or, if you will, madder. Say, that's not a word. Yes, it is. Came from the pulpit. The older brother has a problem with anger. And this time, he's provoked by the repentance of his brother. We're not supposed to get mad when people get right with God. We're supposed to get excited. What happens? We get jealous if we aren't right. We get jealous. It's like we want the attention. All these suicides, all these people committing suicide, a lot of that stems from lack of it. Nobody's paying attention to them. Boy, then they get all the attention. Obviously, this is my theological opinion. Obviously, the older brother lived wrong. He's home. Can he still live wrong if he's home? He's home. Now his brother's home. He gets mad. The prodigal leaves, he wastes money, he comes back home, there's a celebration, the father's thrilled. Can you imagine the grief of the, if this has ever happened to you, can you imagine the father waiting for this prodigal to come home? I mean, he's estranged from one of his kids. That ever happened to you? I pray it doesn't. They're not talking. There's no contact. The dad's home. The older brother's home. The servants are there. Now the prodigal son comes home. The older brother comes in from working. He hears music. So he sits outside. Let's just use the word. Let's not beat around the bush. Ready? He's pouting. Every party needs a pooper. That's why we invited you. Party pooper. Party pooper. I'm a pouter. I know that. I've been pouting. I've been practicing since I was a kid. It's a hard habit to break. And a lot of time that pouting is not genuine. It's just artificial. It's an ungodly jealousy. Try it. Try it. Had kids? Have grandkids? Been through this when it's their birthday, but it's not their birthday? Why'd they get something and I didn't? Been there? Well, they're just kids. No, they're not. They have sense enough to have ungodly jealousy. Christians do it all the time. And I think half the battle is admitting we do and dealing with it. Think how hard it was for the young boy to admit that he was wrong and go home. Think how hard it would be for him to say. So he decides, here's what I need to say. My dad's going to say, what'd you do with the money? He said, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just going to say, you know what? I don't have to be a son. Just make me a hired servant. I can do work like they can work. Just do that. Good attitude. I like it. You say, well, maybe the older brother was a harder worker. Yeah, but who wants to deal with that kind of attitude? Right? Whining about the other workers. Hello? Well, you know, they're not living right. We're talking about us now. They're not, you know, they're not as faithful as they should be. Well, what are you doing about it? You know, we're telling them off and rebuking them. Pray for them. Pray for them. The father leaves the party to deal with the rebellious son. What's ungodly jealousy look like? I came up with four things. Number one, you complain. I don't expect you to love me. I do expect you to love God. And if I quit preaching, get rid of me. If I'm preaching and you complain about something, take it to God. Complain to God. It's easy to complain. Right? I'm sure the father expected, and I'm sure the older son was welcome. It wasn't like, well, I didn't know I was invited. Don't you hate that? You're family. I tell my kids, you don't live here, but you're family. Now, you can't, but they can. You, if you're family and you're in my house is your house. I'm not hiding anything. When my kids come over, my grandkids, they're all through the cupboards. They know where we keep the good stuff. I'm not talking about liquor. They know, they're family. They don't, even the in-laws, they don't have to ask. You don't have to ask me to use the bathroom. You do. You're not family. Well, Lisa, well, I guess she's family. Well, she has to be. There's nothing like having the whole family together. It hurt the father that it wasn't. So he goes out to the boy, and the boy starts complaining. He's pouting. He wasn't getting the attention that his brother was getting. Come on, come on. Jealous. Why don't we just love God and serve God? It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody sees. Just do it. It just doesn't matter who gets the credit. Why would you, I'm talking to you, I guess, and this older brother. Why would you go to church but not really be there? And I know you're sitting here, but why would you go to church but there's a bunch on your mind, a bunch that bothers you, this bothers you, that bothers you? Why would you do that? It's like you're sitting outside. And I think that's one of the things that we need to think about is when you come to church, you ought to participate. You ought to contribute. You ought to be supportive. You ought to be encouraging. You ought to be involved. You ought to be. I love that the dad says, verse 32, it was me. We had to be glad. I got news for you. This is church. We have to be glad. And I mean that in that very sense. Well, I came tonight because Jesus paid for me. He rose from the dead. He's risen. I believe that. And so I'm worshiping him. I have to be glad. How can I not be glad? The dad said it was meat. How can we not rejoice that he's home? Number two, it's easy to complain. Number two, it's easy to get angry. He didn't get over his anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. He should have rejoiced that his brother was home. When I get to heaven, I'm going to hug God. I'm going to hug Jesus. I'm going to hug the Holy Spirit. Just you worry about your order. I'll worry about mine. They're a trinity. I'm going to find my mom because she's going to expect me to hug her next. Because if I don't, I'll hear about it. Then I'm going to hug my dad. Then I'm going to hug my sister. Say, did you ever get angry at your sister? Remember when I witnessed to her, she wouldn't get saved? So I beat her with the New Testament. But that didn't work. I thought for sure it would work. It made me feel good. Didn't make her feel good. She bawled and wept and screamed. I didn't know why. I still don't know why. She ended up getting saved. The older brother's heart was right. He would have ran in that house. Hey, what's the music and dancing? Your brother's home. Really? Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? Think about something. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead? Did he tell them that he would? Several times. They'll kill me. Remember that? They'll kill me. I'll die, but I'll rise again after the third day. So he told them that, right? He even used Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Wouldn't you be excited that he's risen? Wouldn't you say, praise God? What did they do? They hid. They looked in and said, huh? Isn't it amazing how sometimes it's just hard to believe what God said? We know we should. We know what we should be doing. The older brother should have been in the house rejoicing, but it was about him. It was about his feeling. It was about what he thought. And he allowed his anger to overtake him. And Christians do that. They allow their anger to overtake them. So what do? They whine, complain, and get angry. And that's a terrible influence. And when we get angry, it takes away attention from the Lord Jesus. It's easy to complain. It's easy to get angry. Number three, it's easy to think you don't have enough. What did he say? What did the older brother say? I never got. You never gave me. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Do you honestly, look at me, listen to me, wake up. Do you honestly believe that you deserve heaven? Someone asked me last night, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I feel very undeserving. They said, why? I said, because I don't deserve heaven. But I'm going to heaven. They said, I never thought about it like that. I said, it's true. Think about it. If what he did for me by dying on the cross was for me, that should be enough. If he didn't want to do anything else for me, that's his business. That's God's business. I'm just thrilled that I'm going to heaven. But not the older brother. He stayed outside. He wouldn't go in, wouldn't join the party. Don't you like parties? Man, there's food there. There's not just chips. There's not just hors d'oeuvres. The fatted calf. I mean, we're talking meat. Thick meat. Lots of meat. Meat, man. Not baloney. the fatted calf, not tofu. The fatted, you say, I like tofu. God bless you. I'm praying you'll get saved. We're not talking about snacks. We're talking about he would not, because of his stubbornness, he would not go in. And so he realizes that I'll just be childish. I'll just be a spoiled brat. It's a wonderful day for the dad, wonderful day for his brother. But he acts like, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. Listen very carefully. When we act like that, people see that. They don't want any part of it. I'm talking about other Christians, especially lost people. Boy, they notice us. Amy and I were sitting somewhere eating. We prayed. A guy came over and he goes, please excuse me. I said, no, that's fine. What's up? He said, I heard you praying. I don't know how anyone can hear me. And he said, I have a good friend. Just went through a stroke. Is there any way that you would pray for her? I said, man, I'd be glad to. I said, pray with me. Do you pray? Yeah. I said, let's pray. So we prayed right there in front of other people. He said, what if some of them thought you were kooky? What if some of them were challenged by that? Isn't that great? What an honor. I said, sir, what an honor that you would ask me to pray. I said, I'm not even sure God answers my prayer. He said, I am not worthy of that. He saved me, so I witnessed to him. He said he was a Christian. I said, I'm just thrilled that God would save me. And he does answer prayer. I don't always know why or what, but let me know. And so I gave him a card. I said, let me know how your friend does. I said, we'll just keep praying. Number four. It's easy to complain. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to think you don't have enough. And it's easy, lastly, easily, it's easy to be jealous. Jealousy always robs you of joy. Always, always. The Father said, you and I are supposed to have a relationship. Watch this. The Father didn't say it, but the Father said, you have no reason. Watch me, I'm done. Listen, Father is saying to him, verse 31 and 32, he's saying, you have no reason to complain. Right? All that I have is thine. Thou art ever with me. What more could you ask for? So the dad is saying, you have no reason to complain. You have no reason to get mad. You have no reason to want any more. You have no reason to be jealous. Rejoice in what I have given you. Rejoice in what, verse 32, I've given others. See verse 32? We are rejoicing over, notice, I love it. He says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this, thy brother. Aren't you glad God can answer the prayer of another Christian? Let's act like it. You know what we do? Well, how come God doesn't answer my prayer? Will you stop that? Let's get over the ungodly jealousy. Let's just be thrilled that God would save us and realize that he can save others and he can do for others what he wants to do for us. Let's let him. Let's not complain. Let's not get mad. Let's not act like we deserve more. Let's not act jealous. Pray with me, your head bowed, your eyes closed. Lord, we come to you tonight. We need your help. We complain so easily. We get mad so easily. We are so discontent We always think we deserve more. We want more. We're not happy with what we have. And we get jealous. Jealous about the little things. Jealous about the big thing. Dear God, help us just to see that you love us. You love others. And we ought to celebrate. Why aren't we celebrating that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Speak to us. Challenge us. Please, would you speak? Even as we go, just make this go so deep into our heart and soul that we examine ourselves to see if that's us. Do we fit the mold of any of those four, or all four, or one of those four? Do we complain? Do we get angry? Do we always want more? And are we just jealous? I guess there's a godly jealousy. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He wanted to see them succeed. He wanted to see God bless them and use them and help them to be godly. I pray that will be us, Lord. Please help us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.